hearts in prayer. Lord, we have assembled this evening in thy name with the promise of thy presence. And so we call upon thee that as we have come together, that as we will open thy living word, of the word that gives us life and instruction, we pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open and ready to receive. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would speak to each of our hearts in this evening and that thou would direct us to thy paths. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was for this evening's reading and meditation. Let's turn to Psalm number 15 and read together with God's help. Psalm number 15. Ljubim želim da se pročita iz Psalm 15. Sa Božjom pomoću. 15. Psalm. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. God bless our reading. Let us kneel before our Lord in prayer.
Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we, thy children, have assembled ourselves together here in this sanctuary to lift up thy name, to glorify thee, to be strengthened by thy word, to be edified. And Father, we just pray thee that we would set aside this time now for this purpose, that we would do that, Father, glorify thy name and edify one another. And so, Father, we would just pray, Lord, that thy word would ring in our hearts and in our minds, and that we would, by thy grace, Lord, focus upon thy word and see how we might apply it to our lives and how we might live thereby, how we might glorify thee thereby, and how we, O God, by thy grace, Lord, might love even as Jesus Christ has loved. Father, help us, Lord, that we would be thy children, that we would recognize and remember anew, Lord, that we are thy sons, we are thy daughters, and Father, thou hast called us to this high and heavenly calling to be thy children. And so, Father, we would pray, Lord, that by thy grace we would live out the life that thou hast have us to live, that we would worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that we would magnify thy name as we go about our lives daily. Lord, whether we are here in thy sanctuary, or whether we are at work, or, Father, wherever we might find ourselves, Father, that we would glorify thy name. And so, Father, we would pray, Lord, that as this psalm has been read, Father, that we would recognize what thy desire is for mankind. And so, Father, we just pray thee that we would not be moved in our lives, Father, that whatever would transpire round about us, Lord, that we would not be moved, that our faith would be anchored upon thee, and that we would know that thou dost reign as Lord supreme, thou changest not, and thou wilt ultimately have the victory at the end of the ages. And so, Father, we would just rest in thee, and we would not be moved, and we would glorify thee, Father, in our lives. And so, Father, we would pray, Lord, for each and every one that is gathered here. Lord, we have this precious fellowship, and we thank thee for each and every one that is able to be here this evening hour. And we would pray, Lord, that thou wouldst fill us with a good measure of thy Holy Spirit, and that we would find it to have been a blessing here in thy house in this evening hour. For those who were not able to be here this evening, Lord, we would pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be with them likewise. Father, we would pray a special prayer for our brother Dan Olja, Lord, as he has suffered yet another seizure. Father, we would just lift him up in prayer, Lord, and ask thee that thou wouldst provide healing where it can be according to thy will. Lord, we commit all things unto thee, Lord, knowing that thou dost know best. And so whatever we might find, wherever we might find ourselves in this life, whatever our circumstances might be, Father, we would just pray, Lord, that we would look up and be anchored in thee and in our faith that thou wilt supply according to thy will. And we know that thou art a righteous and a merciful God. And so we would just rest upon thee in that. Father, we would pray for those who know thee not, Lord, that they would be called and drawn by this thy word. Father, for the least, lost, and the lonely, we would lift them up also, Father, that thou wouldst provide for them, that they might feel the strength of the Lord in their lives. And Father, we could pray for many scenarios and situations, Father, that are in this life. We just commit all things unto thee. Be thou magnified, be thou lifted up, and we would pray thee that thou wouldst be with our brother as he would bring forth this message, Lord, that we would all then be in tune with what thy Spirit would speak to us. For this we do ask, and this we do pray, in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Dear ones, this short psalm that we have read is a psalm of it's a question and answer, a psalm. And the question is asked, who will abide in thy tabernacle? Who will dwell in thy holy hill? Who is going to be a welcome guest in God's house? And the answer comes and is very short and is very intense. It's very deep. And the answer simply comes, if you will be a welcome guest into the house of the Lord, in his tabernacle, in his holy hill, you must walk uprightly. To walk uprightly means to walk blameless. I am not a welcome guest in God's house if I am not walking uprightly, if I'm not walking blamelessly, if I'm not searching out the Lord's will and what the stipulations are to be welcomed into his house. He said, and he worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. When we look at this, we ask ourselves, what man is there that has fulfilled this, and we have to look only to Jesus. And Jesus, as he preached his sermon on the Mount, there was intense scrutiny in his life by man. Man was looking at him intensely, trying to find something that they could point a finger at him, that he is not the man that he is teaching others to be. Not only that, he was under the watchful eye of God. And he was found blameless. He is found blameless by God and man. And it is he who was righteous, and it is he who gives us his righteousness. And the work that we are to do, working righteousness, is his work. Doing his work. And it tells us here that we must speak the truth in his heart. If you're going to be abiding in God's house, you must speak the truth in your heart. And you think of that What does that really mean? And it's what Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was all about. And he spoke of these very truths in his sermon. What I proclaim to be, what I show myself to be, I must be in my heart. So again, Jesus laid that out. I can't pretend that something in my heart isn't there and expect the seeing eye of God, who sees me and knows the innermost part of my heart, that I could still live with a heart that is full of perhaps hatred that Jesus spoke of and different things that in my heart, the intense desire to be wealthy and to be somebody, to have pride swelling up within my heart. And on the outside, when I speak to you, I'm going to be totally different. So the words are going to be correct, perhaps what I speak to you and what we speak to one another. But if you're going to be abiding in the house of God, it tells you have to speak the truth in your heart. You have to be true inside. The inside of who we are is what God looks down upon. And what is inside, we know naturally, will reflect outside. But we can be rotten on the inside and show ourselves as whited sepulchres. On the outside, we look good. But the inside could be death and decay. And so, David is writing here, and he answers a question. If you're going to be abiding, remember, as this Bible's heading says, a member of God's household, you must walk uprightly, blamelessly. You must work righteousness. And you must be true. Truth must abide inside your heart. The brother prayed about, mentioned that the prayer was that we would feel the power of Jesus within us, or feel the life of Jesus within us. Dear ones, we cannot feel the power of God if we don't have truth in our heart. If we don't speak the truth in our heart, if we don't work righteousness, if we don't walk uprightly and blamelessly, how am I going to feel the power of God who had given me the guidelines to be in his house? Think of how we would be if we have stipulations or rules or whatever we want to call them in our own house. And someone comes in and completely disregards that and expects to have full run of the house, but completely disobeys. How often is I hear men say, you know, this is my house. You're going to live by my rules. Well, that's man. That's us talking. Like we, this is what I demand. My house. My rules. You don't like it, get out. Well, God lays out for us throughout the entire scripture the instructions to dwell in his house. And why is it that we think that we can completely disregard? And we do. We do. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes we think we can completely disregard what the Scripture is instructing us, what Jesus Christ has instructed us. We feel that we can disregard and still be a welcome guest in that house. Why? Well, God is love. And so he won't turn me away. And we forget that God is holy. And we forget that God is just. And we don't dwell on those things. And so we speak the truth. We could speak the truth one to another. But is the truth spoken in our heart? Does our heart follow the teachings of Jesus Christ our Lord? He that backbiteth not with his tongue. This is what James speaks of in his epistle. Backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor. What does it mean to backbite? I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time determining what the answer to that is. Does no evil to his neighbor. Dear ones, how many times would we feel that someone deserves my wrath? They deserve my wrath because he did this to me. He says he does no evil to his neighbor. And again, this is a picture of the Sermon on the Mount. This entire psalm is, actually. Everything we see here, we see Jesus teaching in his sermon. And he says, don't do any evil to your neighbor. Allow yourself to be used. If you were used, don't return. No eye for an eye. No tooth for a tooth. Don't take up a reproach against his neighbor. It says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. What does that mean? A vile person. Dear ones, are we perhaps at times ashamed, or when someone would speak vile things, and we want to laugh with them and be partakers of this vileness. We want to be friends with the world, perhaps more so than we want to be friends with those who are the household of God. But as this title says here, member of God's household, if we are members of God's household, the purest friendships have to come from within here. The purest friendships, the most delight to spend time with one another is here in the household of God. It can't be with vile persons outside. That's not where we get our joy and satisfaction of being with someone. Because God looks down upon that as vile. And so if God looks upon it as vile, I have to also, and you have to also look upon that as vile and condemn those things. He says, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. Do we honor one another? Those that fear the Lord. Are we getting to the point where we're going to say, well, it's hard to find someone who fears the Lord within the household of God? God honors those that fear him. And oftentimes, we look at those who fear God as perhaps those who are too strict. Someone who fears God is someone who is too old-fashioned. Someone who honors God is someone that I don't really want to rub shoulders with because it reflects upon me in a way that I don't want to be seen. I want to be in. I want to be cool. Jesus wasn't in. Jesus wasn't cool. Jesus was hated. The most beautiful man that ever walked this earth. What did they hate him about? What could they have hated him? I can understand if you hate me. I can understand with one another, but the Lord Jesus is perfect. And he says, and they hated me, and they're going to hate you. Why? If you walk uprightly, if you condemn the vile person and you honor those that fear God, they're going to hate you too. When you have the truth in your heart, when you're living the power of God, when you feel that His power in you, giving you strength to do these things, you're not going to be popular and loved. You will be by those who are also the welcome guests of God's house. Because there's a love amongst one another. It says, he that sweareth to his own hurt and doesn't change. You'll take a loss before you'll change for your own good. But because you're not looking out for yourself. This is a welcome guest of the household of God. One who doesn't look out for himself will not change so that it's better for him at the expense of you or someone else. If it's at anyone's expense, if I am going to be a welcome guest in the household of God, it has to be at my own hurt. And I will not change. Dear ones, we have the Lord Himself as our strength. The Lord Jesus Himself who has given us His Holy Spirit, and His purpose is always simply to give us direction to who? To the Lord Himself. And so He has empowered us and given us the enablement to walk in the way in which we will be welcome. What does David say? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Paul says, so let us examine ourselves. And thus eat. Let's examine ourselves. Am I a welcome guest here? That house that I claim is my house, which is God's, it's His. Who can change not when I'm going to take a big loss? And that loss could be life itself. You know, we so often, we just feel we're so in control of our lives. The only thing we're in control of is, do I follow the Lord or not? We often think we're so in control of our lives that we think we can direct our ways, that we can think of many things that can come across in life that, you know, we always say whatever the Lord's will is. Whatever the Lord's will is, but if it's the Lord's will, and the Lord's will is being pressed upon me, do I seek to skirt that, to run from it? We see the lives of the apostles. They never ran from the will of God. They ran to it. You know, we might consider, and the scripture clearly, Jesus clearly tells us, consider the cost. Consider the cost when you come to follow me. And we oftentimes say we do, but it's very hard for us to really consider the cost. And we'll never be able to consider the cost when I'm not ready to swear to my own hurt and change not. There are those of you, dear ones, who are seeking the Lord now, who are looking to follow the Lord. You have to lay it in your heart as you come to Him that you will never be embarrassed of Him. But do you always speak the truth in your heart? And so that what comes out, and that you as you become a follower, you have to consider, as you become a follower of God, you become a new light in a dark world. You're a new light, a light that will be scrutinized the way Jesus was. You'll be looked upon. You'll be ignored. You won't even be looked at if you're laughing with the vile man. Actually, if you call upon the name of Jesus and you speak about Jesus and we're cracking up at vileness, they're going to love that because there's no condemnation. It's all good then. But lay it in your heart now, my dear soul, to count the cost. The cost is your own will. Your own desires are laid aside. Who do I love? I love my Lord and I seek to fulfill His will, so that I may live empowered by Him, and so I can fulfill and do these things. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. It's forbidden. It's forbidden to give a poor man that which he needs and demand more in return. It's forbidden. We're not to go to demand our possessions back. It says, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Will I be moved? Never. When will I be moved? Never. The path of the Lord is illuminated for me. I'll never be moved off that path. I'll never be moved off the path when my heart is right with Him. We have Him. We have His Word. We have His Word. And we have the keys to His Word. We understand His Word when we live in the light of Jesus Christ. He reveals, He gives us the keys to understand and to feel. So that when we read these things, we don't just read it and say, yeah. But the conviction comes within our hearts when our desire is to love Him and to serve Him. And he empowers us and gives us direction. And He gives us the ability. And He welcomes us into His presence, into His house, so that we can then say also, as David of old, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Does that mean this physical building? Of course not. This physical building has nothing to do with it. It's, I will be in His presence. When a sacrifice would be brought to a priest, the Israelite would have to take the best ram that he has, the best. He'd run his hands over it and inspect it and see that it's the best that he has and give it to the priest. And the priest would inspect it, you know, take the knife to it. Dear ones, when we bring ourselves as a sacrifice to God, do we give Him the best that we have? Because His word is a two-edged sword. It exposes the innards as the priest's knife does. His word exposes the innards, and do we and see what is inside of me. Is, am I speaking the truth in my heart? And how are we found? Are we still welcome? Because only those who do these things are welcome. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Dear ones, this is a promise that God has given us. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's why David is saying here, he that doeth these things will never be moved, because Jesus will never leave me. And so being in His presence, dear, we have access to the mercy seat where we can go with our sins and confess them and through repentance be restored as a welcome guest of the household of God. Not to ignore and to disobey and to still demand and to feel as if I have a right to go into His presence. The right is only with a broken heart. To come before Him with a broken heart, to recognize my depravity, my need, is always Him. And to do that, dear ones, we will be feeling the life of Christ within us. And that little light that we've been given to shine will shine. It shines bright. How do we have that assurance? Because Jesus told us. He's told us that you are the light. Why? Because He is with us. He was the only source of light. And dear ones, through the righteousness that He gives us, as He has forgiven us our sins and transformed us into new creatures, into new life, He empowers that life to be a life that is one that He is not ashamed of. He is not ashamed to be called our God. Dear ones, as the Apostle Paul says, let every man examine himself. So in this psalm, dear ones, we are asked the question and given an answer. Are we going to just ignore it or do we examine it? Examine our life to see, am I of the household of God, a member, one who is welcome and who comes into the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving, with reverence, with joy unspeakable, so that whatever comes in my life never is going to move me. No, because He's always there. He's always there in those dark days. He's always there in those days where I'm not feeling well, the days where perhaps I've allowed my own thoughts to get in the way of Him so that He can work freely in my heart and life, where I've allowed my own thoughts to feel despondent, to feel as if there's no one else. The church is falling apart. Things are just going wrong. The Lord doesn't let us feel that way. He said, you're never going to be moved in His presence. But you're always going to shine as a light. You're going to condemn the vile. You're going to honor those who love God and fear Him. You're going to honor. You're going to desire friendships within the household of God. Friendships that give you the joy of being with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Looking to be, rejoicing. Why? They've come into the house of the Lord. Why? Because there's brothers and sisters of like precious faith there. The Word of God is there. And so we honor one another because we fear the Lord. And we help one another. And so this is our calling. This is our calling if we're going to be welcome in His house. So let us examine ourselves, dear ones, and see that we really do speak the truth in our hearts, so that the things that I might be ashamed for you to find out about me, that I should be more ashamed that God knows those things about me. Ashamed to the point of realizing how I am nothing and I need Him. May God bless His word upon our hearts in this evening, dear ones, that His word would be so precious to us that we don't just come on a Wednesday to read it or on a Sunday, but that we search out His scriptures, not to just say, I read a chapter today, but read a verse or a chapter or a book and something that gives us things that we can share with one another and uplift one another with and uplift our own soul with and strengthen us. It's His word that does that. So that we can go day by day in a world of darkness. Don't let the world convince you that they are light. They have no light. Jesus said that. They have nothing but darkness. Their wisdom is man's. God's wisdom is eternal. So may we search Him out every day anew. And then we will feel the power of Christ in us. Amen.
God's house forever, and not to be moved from there. And God gives us the means by which we can enter into His presence and be there forever. He gives that instruction here in this psalm. To be on a sports team, you have to excel at the abilities of that sport. You have to practice quite a bit. Not everybody makes it. It's not for everyone. To be in an Ivy League school, you have to study hard. You have to do well on exams. It's not for everyone. But to be in God's house is a possibility for everyone. Everyone can come. Everyone has the grace and the wisdom from God to do what God's word here speaks to us. We can all do this by His grace. And so as we go our ways, let's consider these verses that are written here, how we might dwell in God's house and be there forever, that we would walk uprightly, that we would work righteousness, and that we would speak the truth in our hearts, and the other things that are written here. Let's take these words to heart, that we might live thereby and be in His presence forever. Amen.